I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings and become like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Ira. Good morning, church. If you're visiting with us this morning, it's an honor to have you here. We are glad to be together on this Lord's Day. You woke up this morning, a little frost on the pumpkin out there, but that's okay. Just think about this in July, you know, in August, and so we're doing all right. Glad you're here. In the scripture that Ira just read for us, there's a lot of stuff packed in there. I mean, if you wanted to speak on that, that's like a blind dog in a meat house. You don't even know where to begin. I want to back up one slide. Eric, I hit it twice. Thank you. In the midst of all of that, and there's lots of wonderful stuff. We'll talk about it, Lord willing, from time to time. But in here is one challenging verse. He says here in verse 13, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead. Even in this is a challenging statement from the Apostle Paul. Forgetting what lies behind. In order to be found in Christ, to know the power of his resurrection, Paul is speaking, he needs to know that the resurrection is real, and he needs to understand the power of that resurrection. He needs to somehow attain to the resurrection of the dead. When his life is over, he's devoted his life to Jesus. He uses his life up in the cause of Christ, and he wants to attain the resurrection from the dead. In order to do all that, he must forget what it is that is behind him. A lot of good stuff in there, but the primary idea is I've got a lot of stuff in there. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know all those things. I want to become like him in his death. But I need to forget what is behind. Some of us need to get away from what happened yesterday, perhaps. Some of us need to get away from what happened 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Eric, my screen just went blank. Some people cannot go forward because they can't get out of the past. I want you to think about getting out of the past. Let me grab my notes here and I'll use them. There we go. We must look forward if we're going to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. Some churches have not progressed in the world, in their own community, in relationships. They've not progressed because of something that happened 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. It's like they're stuck in a time warp and they can't move on. They don't move on. because they have not put the things in the past. Some wives and husbands no longer enjoy each other's company or even having a conversation because of something that happened in the past. We have got to get over the past if we are going to move forward. I like what Joel said. We need to always be reaching for something else, not something new, but a new spiritual relationship, a better understanding of the Christ. I know that that's a lot easier said than done. I've said to you, and those of you that know me, it's a whole lot easier to stand up here and preach this than it is to live it. That doesn't mean I don't have to strive at doing it, but it's a lot easier to talk about it than it is to do it. I know when someone hurts you, it's tough to get through that. I had a teacher in elementary school that said, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but word will never harm me." Well, she lied to me. She meant well. She was trying to put a little moxie to me, I guess, but words can hurt. You ever had somebody just cut you off at the knees? And later they want to take it back, or I want to take it back what I said, but you can't take it back. And it's hard to get over a hurt. Our Bible text still says, forgetting what lies behind. Over 60 years ago, when I was 6 or 7 years old, every Monday in the part of Oklahoma I lived in was called Wash Day. All right. Now, my mama had a couple of big old black pots sort of in the corner of the yard. You remember those? And she'd have a little fire built under them, not some rip-roaring thing, but they were black on the outside. They had this soot and all this other stuff on them. But inside that pot, she'd have white clothes. She would wash white shirts, and she had a stick inside that, either to whip us with or to move her wash along, as the case may be. Now, one day was wash day, and my cousins came over to see us. You have to remember, my mother had 8 siblings, so there was a whole tribe of people came over when we all got together, and we got to throwing rocks at each other. They didn't say a word about throwing rocks, but my mother stuck her head out, and she said, "Don't you dare throw a rock into my wash." Being kids, 5 minutes later, dink, one of them hit the pot. Now, we only had one door on the side of our house, but I thought the whole side of the door just opened up, because there was mamas came running out of there, and they didn't care who they got. They just got you by, you know, you'd try to run. You remember your little legs, you just try to run. It's like somebody had just put super glue on your feet, and you couldn't move. You were going at warp 9, and they just increased it to warp 10. They got you by the hair, by the nape of the neck, by something. It might not even be your mama, but it was somebody's mama, and they whipped you like you didn't have good sense. I knew what was coming. Because you see, in those days, you didn't get sent home or to bed without supper. They wanted you to be healthy. So there wasn't a choice. Now, I wasn't abused, all right? My behind felt sorely abused. My pride was wounded a bit, but and not a one of us kids, and there was a bucket load of us, not one of us spent a day in jail. But I wonder how many of us might have spent some time in jail if they hadn't disciplined. It wasn't always a switch, but for willful disobedience, for blatantly refusing to follow advice and rebellion, it came every time. Now, that was over 60 years ago, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. I said that because Paul tells us, in this text, I want you to put in your past. I want it in your rearview mirror. I want you to forget what it was that was behind. Now, let me check your memory, all right? I want to see how good your memory is. I went back and grabbed some old commercials, and I want you to finish these for me, okay? Here we go. Winston's taste good like a cigarette should, all right? You're right. Next one is, this thing's got some lag time this morning. I'd rather fight than, all right, and I'd walk a mile for a. Now, those commercials have not been on TV in 40 years. So your memory's not too bad either. All right. I don't know exactly what it is. So the question is not, are we to forget the past? But the honest question is, how can we put the past behind us? Suppose, I just use Rusty. He's here. I already covered that screen. Suppose Rusty and I got it. We're horsing around. We're teenagers. We're horsing around with a knife. And he cuts me on the face. I go down and I get the thing all fixed up. And in a few weeks, it's all right. No more pain, no more nothing. But what is it that I see every time I look into the mirror? I see a scar that reminds me of an altercation we had. Nothing serious, just happened. All right. The question is, again, not are we to forget, but how can we? Those who study the mind say that everything that you've ever taken in with the right prodding can come out. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they say. I know that they're taking people now and they're putting these wires all in their brain in different parts of their brain, people who've had had spinal damage, and they're bypassing some of that spine, and they do something, and their finger moves, and they can move their hand and all that sort of stuff. So I know the mind is an extremely powerful thing. What makes some things so hard to forget is because of the scars. Now, of all the people who were inspired to tell us, I want you to forget in the past, Paul is the one that God chose. I don't know if you don't know anything about the Bible. That probably doesn't seem funny to you, but it seems very strange to me that he would choose the Apostle Paul, because Paul will say this. How could he, I'll use that. I'll go ahead and put it in there. How could he forget persecuting Christians? Here's what he said in Acts 22. I persecuted the way, meaning the church, unto their death. He said, I dragged men and women out of their homes and I persecuted them to the point that they died. How do you lay that away? How do you go to some meeting of a church somewhere in some other city and someone goes, man, look who just walked in the door. You know what he did. Our text this morning, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. How can we do it? First thing he says in verse 10, actually he says it in verse 8 and verse 10, that I may know him, the Christ. In the context, this little Greek word has a lot of interesting parts to it. You know, you see, you can know about a person and not know the person. I know about George Washington. I've read a lot of things on Abraham Lincoln. I've read about Franklin Roosevelt and some other people that some of you knew personally, but I don't know any of those people, and I wasn't around them. The word know says this in the Greek language, to know well. Not superficially. You didn't read about somebody. You spent time enough with them that you know them well. It means to know intimately. In fact, the word is used to describe an intimate sexual relationship, to know someone that well. I need to know Christ as personally as a husband can know their wife or a wife know their husband. I stand here after a year of being with you, and some of you know me better than others. Some of you, we haven't had a chance to spend time together. We're going to. You're on my list. I got a checklist, all right? I'm checking you off. But we will never, ever get to know each other in the way that we need to know each other until we spend time together. That's how you get to know someone personally. If you want to really push back on your past, I'm talking about pushing back to the point that it no longer affects you, you're going to have to close the past. Second thing that will help us is found in verse 13, and that's the one we've talked about, forgetting what lies behind. Notice he says, I don't consider myself to have made it my own. I haven't arrived yet at the heaven part, but one thing I do, not two things, not three things, I'm not scattered all over the place, but the one thing I have to do as the Apostle Paul is I have to forget what lies behind. Now, the word doesn't mean cease to remember. That would be really cool. I mean, it would be the thing if you could unscrew your head, take it out, put it in some kind of a spiritual wash machine and put it back. I would absolutely love that, but that's not what it means. It means to not allow the events of the past to dictate every facet of a relationship that I have right now. That's real important. My past in relationship to events and in relationship to persons must not dictate who I am and how I act and how I respond in my present now. What can you do about the past? Well, it's obvious you can't go back and change events. Have you ever been someplace you wished you hadn't been? Or maybe you thought some things you wished you hadn't thought, or you jumped to a conclusion, you went and impugned a motive. Well, I know why they're doing this. And then you found out later that wasn't the case at all. Or have you ever done something? You see, for some people, the fact that they thought something is worse for them than someone who did something. So it depends on where you are on the spectrum. But we all, maybe all of those or in some of those, are a definite yes. I wished I had never done those things. In our pretend story of Rusty, can he uncut me? No, it's not possible. Can Paul go back to Stephen when he held the coats of those who were stoning him? Or can he go back and bring people back from the dead, those that he dragged out of the church? No. Can I uncommit adultery? No. Can I unmarry someone and go back and know them better than I did? No, I can't do any of those things. The past is the past. But I've got to get way beyond my past. If you don't get rid of your past, if you don't let it go, if you don't let go of the things that hurt you in relationship to people or events, you are going to be bitter, you're going to be angry, you're going to be frustrated, and it could very well cost you your soul. Because those are things that nail our feet to the floor from the past. We cannot move forward. You know, we lived in Hawaii for 7 years, and we were there during the 50th anniversary. And every year they would play Tora, Tora, Tora. Now that's the famous deal where they said, let's attack Pearl Harbor. You got to know Japanese to know that, and I don't have a clue. But let's go attack. And I watched that thing every year, and I noticed that every year when I watched that, I would have these emotions well up inside me, and I would just be gripey and angry and unsettled for a while. And finally, one year I said, I'm not watching it. What a difference that made. We've been through a grueling 2 years of presidential stuff. And I reached the point where I told Pam, I said, I can't watch it anymore. Almost like that. I had to just shut it off. Sometimes I got to get away from those things that pull me in, either now affect me or affect me from my past. It doesn't matter if it's a few days or a few years. I've got to put distance between myself and those things. Third, our attitude toward the events or our attitude toward people. We've got to make some adjustments. Genesis 45 is an interesting passage. You may want to read this afternoon. Start about chapter 47 or somewhere in there and read all the way through. But in chapter 45, we're told about a meeting between Joseph and his brothers after 17 years. They had not seen each other for 17 years. Now, you remember what his brothers did. Joseph, as a fact, was a spoiled, pampered youngest son of his daddy. And his daddy sends him down to Dothan to check on the brothers. And they hated him so bad. They were so full of jealousy and hatred of him that they said, let's kill him. In fact, they told their daddy that. They took his garments and soaked it in animal blood and said an animal got him. They didn't kill him. They put him in a pit. And along came some traders, some Midianites, and they sold him to him. They sold their brother to him. And when he got on to Egypt, the Midianites made a little more off of him and sold him to the Egyptians. He winds up in slavery. Now, he has not seen his brothers in 7 years. He's the most powerful man, second most powerful man in Egypt, only to Pharaoh himself. But they don't know who he is. Joseph knows. He understands Hebrew. They come in. Times have changed. They've changed. Now he looks different. But he knows who they are. He says this to his brothers when he finally reveals himself. And by the way, it's an emotional moment. It's not cold. It's not this. In fact, Joseph sent all of his Egyptian advisors, get out. And he just falls on his brothers and weeps. And this is what he says, and now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. I'm telling you, he said, don't let it bother you. All those years, Joseph hadn't forgotten a thing. He hadn't forgotten his time in the prison. He hadn't forgotten that he was put in there wrongly. He should not have been there. He hadn't forgotten any of that. And he says, don't be distressed or angry. He says in verse 6, God sent me before you to preserve life. Back 17 years earlier, when Joseph was sold to the Midianites and they're off, he wasn't going down the road singing, oh, there's sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright. Wouldn't be. He's leaving everything he knows. He's had the softest life of anyone on the planet. But now, after 17 years, he hasn't forgotten a thing. He said, they did the selling. God did the sending. How do you make that span from knowing that your brothers would have killed you had not one of them said, let's don't kill him, let's sell him? How do you move beyond that? What events have you gotten in that were rotten? Something that happened in your life 5, 10, 20 years ago that you can't forget, and God can't use you because of that. When I moved to a little West Texas town, it was a small town. So I asked the people, I said, I want the name of every person who's ever been a Christian here. And I just started down through the city knocking doors. And I knocked on a door just catty-cornered across from the church. And I told the lady who I was and what I was there. And she said, well, come in. She said, I used to be a member of the church here. And I said, really? I said, what happened? And she said, you know, it's been so long ago, I don't really remember. She hadn't been to church in 20 years. She couldn't let go of the past. Are you saved today? And you weren't 2 months or 6 years or 5 years or 10 years ago, but today you are? Have things been hard in your life, but now you know Jesus? You know him in an intimate, personal way, and the attitude toward the things that happened to you have changed so that now you understand why you went through some of that. And now the other side of that, you are useful to God in a way that you would never have been useful to him before. Just before Jesus' crucifixion, when Simon was saying, Lord, everybody else will leave you, but I won't. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. What do you do with wheat? You sift it and you blow away the chaff. But I have prayed for you that you and your faith may not fail. And when you've turned again, strengthen your brothers. I want you to understand that the sifting that takes place in our life because of Satan is no different than the sifting that took place in the Apostle Peter. In the midst of the suffering process, the text says that Jesus was there praying for Peter even before making intercession on his behalf. I think it's encouraging when someone isn't treating you right, or your boss is acting like a jerk, or you get the short end of the stick, you should have been promoted or something, or your brother or sister isn't acting right. I think it's encouraging to know that when all that's going on, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Does he know about any of our troubles and things we're going through, church? Yeah. Can, as if he needed to, could he explain that to the Father? He said in verse 22-32, when you've turned again, strengthen your brothers. The NIV says, when you're converted. When I read that, I thought, what in the world is he talking about? And then I got to thinking, when you've turned or converted, he's not talking about from your sin. You know what he's saying to Peter? When you come through the sifting process and you come around to the other side, when you're through that process, now go talk to your brothers. Now you're ready to talk to your brothers. Now you can say things to your brothers that you couldn't say before because you didn't get it. But now, having been through the sifting process and you're on the other side, you know. Having looked me in the face and denied me and said, I don't know you, and swearing it with a Jewish oath, now you know what that means. How did Joseph forget? Joseph's first son, he named him Manasseh. When I go to some country, they ask me, what does your name mean? And I say, nothing. Because it means nothing. But Manasseh means this: God has made me to forget my hardship. How about naming your son that? Sometimes when we're trying to lose weight, we do crazy things. I was in a house not too long ago, and they had this picture on the refrigerator of this 700-pound, looked like a sumo wrestler. And I said, what in the world is that for? And he says, it's a reminder that I don't want to be like him. That picture served as a reminder. We need reminders. We took of the Lord's Supper this morning, did we not? As a reminder. Joseph had a second son. He named him Ephraim. And as you might have guessed, his name has significance. His name, main name, is God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. How would you like that? Every time you call your son, Manasseh, Ephraim, you know why you named them that. You know the purpose that that has. We got to remind ourselves to forget, church. It doesn't come natural. There'll never be peace and harmony in our own life, in our world around us until we're that way. You know, I think always about an example of lack of harmony. I think of the Israelis and the Palestinians. How can you be in a conflict that long and just being spitting distance from each other? You have to teach the next generation to hate. Hate is not a normal thing. If parents don't grow up teaching it, kids don't get it. We need to be where there's peace and harmony. Where there's chaos, Jesus is not. We need peace and harmony in our lives, in our homes, in the Lord's church, in the world. We got to have some Manassehs and Ephraims in our life, and we'll have to put them there. You know, God is able to forgive and to forget. I think that's interesting. Pat and I were talking between class and worship. How does God describe his ability to forgive? He said, I can forgive your sin as far as the east is from the west. And how far is that? Someone says, well, you go around the earth, you find it again. Well, let's just shoot out into space. It takes 100,000 light years to cross the galaxy at the speed of light. You think you can start off that way and your sin won't catch up with you? God wants to forgive. God is all about forgiving. But we have got to learn to forgive ourselves. And if we're not, if by faith you've been born again of the water and the Spirit, and the blood of Jesus has washed away your sins, you need to believe that. And you need to live like that. And you need to let go of everything that would entangle you or hinder you and pull you back. Because that's not why you're here on the planet Earth. That's not why you're here in this building, the Tulare Church of Christ today. God has a reason and a purpose for you. If you want to be useful, drop the past. Let it go. I didn't say it was easy. Begin the process. And God will go with you every step of the way. If you're here today, you're not in Christ, we'd like to talk to you about him if you don't know. Jesus is the most wonderful gift that the world has ever known. If there's something in your life that's not right and you want us to pray with you about it, that's our privilege. We'd love to do that. If you need a church home, if you need something, let us know. We'll try to help you while we stand and sing.